First Peter chapter 5. This is something the Lord gave me this morning. And for most of us, we've heard this multiple times in the area of forgiveness. But there's something that he brought to me this morning. He said, I want to refresh my people in one of the things that snare them. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, would you read it with me, please? It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Remember, the enemy is seeking you. From the moment that you were born and sent into this realm, the powers of darkness have assigned demonic forces to take you out. It was only by prayer and the grace of God that we've lasted so long. So many times, I mean, a near-death experiences and so forth. And I've always asked, well, why am I still alive? And one of the things that came to me is because somebody was praying for you. It is the prayers of the saints that have kept us. No such thing as luck. It only comes from the word Lucifer. We are blessed, not lucky. And in this area, one of the things he says in verse 8, it says, be sober and be vigilant. In other words, be sensitive, discern, and be consistent. Why? This is the way we overcome, isn't it? So that we are sensitive to the things of the enemy. So that we are consistent. Without consistency, the key to consistency, the only way that you're going to have victory is to be consistent. Amen? You got to be consistent. You got to be consistent in prayer. You got to be consistent in fellowship. You got to be consistent in warfare. You got to be consistent. Because if you're not consistent, the enemy's always looking for an open door to access me and you. And it says, he's seeking whom he can devour. In verse 9, it says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In other words, everybody goes through it. So when the enemy tells you you're the only one, you're not. He always wants to bring you to you. You're not the only one. Does everybody understand that? So there's that area where we must be consistent and be vigilant, sober, so that we are sensitive to the things. One of the things that the Holy Spirit always does is he tells us things to come. But if we're not sensitive to those things, we fall into the trap of the enemy. Amen? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 24, it says something very powerful. It says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, correcting those who are in opposition. In other words, well, you can't correct someone if you're not sensitive, discerning, or in divine order with God. Why? Because you can't give something you don't have. It says, correcting those in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them what? Repentance. Repentance. So that they may know the truth. Repentance. Repentance means you ask God for forgiveness. Forgive me. It means to turn away from something you know is displeasing God. When you repent, what you do is you activate the blood of Christ. Only when you repent. It must come out of your mouth. So what you're saying is, I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn away from those things. In fact, Jesus came and he said, repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. Why? Because the kingdom of God cannot be activated in your life unless the blood of Christ is activated in your life. And that blood is activated when you ask God's forgiveness. Well, you may think, well, I haven't sinned in years. Well, you're an idiot. Because you sin every stinking day. You sin every night, every morning. You sin every day with your thoughts. You sin every day with your words. You sin every day. Everybody sins. Hello? We are sinners. We are born a sinner. But we are born again in Christ so we can have dominion over sin, where sin doesn't have dominion over me and you. So everybody got it? So it doesn't rule our life. So lust doesn't rule our life. So fornication doesn't rule our life. So lying doesn't rule our life. So stealing doesn't rule our life. So pride doesn't rule our life. But the character of Christ rules our life. And the only way that he has access to me and you is when there's blood goes before the Spirit. There must be repentance all the time. It must be one of the first things on the tip of your tongue. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me when you do something, when you say something. Well, I didn't mean it. It doesn't matter whether you meant it or not. If you kick something or, and you say something you shouldn't, of course you didn't mean it, but you did it. It's like running that red light. I didn't see it. Try and tell that to the officer who's writing you the ticket. Same thing. Amen? So everybody get this. So repentance should be something that is a common thing for a believer if you're truly following Christ. Because we're going to make mistakes. But we're and by repenting, you're cutting loose the power of sin, which is the power and the presence of evil, to run your life. We don't want him running our life anymore. So he says here, look at in verse 26, and that they may come to their what? Senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Let me tell you, without repentance in your life, you are doing the will of the devil. Well, I don't believe it. Well, ask somebody else what you're doing in your life then, because you can't see it. Hello, where are you at? I always ask people, who's in your mirror? Who's in your mirror today, huh? In Romans 8, would you go there, please? Romans 8. Repentance cuts us loose. It opens the door for the Lord to come in. And one of the things, when he comes in, he counsels us, corrects us, and directs us. Why? So we can escape. We can escape the snare of the enemy. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, would you read it with me? There is therefore now no what? Condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the what? To the flesh. So even if you're in Christ and you're walking according to the flesh, is there condemnation? Yes. It's real simple. He said, but there is no condemnation for those who are not walking in the flesh, but walking according to the Spirit. In other words, guilt and condemnation. Guilt and condemnation. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in his own flesh. That's why he paid the price for me and you. He paid the price for me and you by being crucified on the cross. It says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in me and you, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So let me share something with you. I'm not going to get into this heavily thing, but even if you are a believer of Jesus Christ, you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you choose to follow the devil, you will go to hell. Real simple. Why? Because who you serve when you die is where you go. But I've been saved 20 years. Well, how's your walk today? Well, let's see, are you living in fornication? Are you still cheating? Are you still lying? Are you still doing all kinds of things? Are you doing the will of God, or are you doing the will of yourself? Are you serving in the house of God, or are you serving yourself? See, there's the difference. The Bible tells us that only if you are doing the will of God will you enter the eternal kingdom. When's the last time you picked up a Bible and read it? When's the last time you actually really searched the truth of God Almighty? Let me tell you something. 21 years ago, I had a visitation from the Lord, and one of the first words out of his mouth is, my Bible is true. Not a man told me, he did. So I'm telling you, because he told me. So you can take that up with him when you get before him. Hopefully it won't be too late. So there's no condemnation, no guilt to those who are in Christ. Amen? Why? Because when we are walking in the Spirit and have fellowship with the Spirit, we know that counsel, correction, and direction and conviction come from the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he brings us to repentance and forgiveness. One of the things the Holy Spirit said to me, why he began to give this to me this morning, he says, one of the things that my people have the hardest time doing is forgiving themselves. Self-forgiveness. They have the hardest time. We are rough on ourselves. Does everybody understand that? We have a hard time forgiving ourselves. And when we have a hard time forgiving ourselves, we walk in bitterness and offense. We may say, oh, I forgive this person, I forgive that person, and you may forgive them, but you have a hard time forgiving yourself. And that puts your soul in captivity. So this is the message of the Lord this morning. self-forgiveness. In Psalm 32, Psalm 32, would you all read it with me, please? It's a great psalm. They're all great, though. Blessed is he who what? Whose transgression is what? Forgiven. Blessed. One of the things you got to do is accept that you've been forgiven. You know, so many times people don't, they don't accept it. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, forgive me. No, really, forgive me. No, man, they're days in repentance. Because they even accept that Jesus forgave them the first time. We have that tendency to not forgive ourselves or believe that we're forgiven. And then when something goes wrong, oh, he hasn't forgiven me yet. That's not true at all. He's forgiven you. But the thing is we must forgive ourselves. It is one of the hardest things besides prayer. Most people have a hard time praying. Most people have a hard time showing up for church. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man who the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there's what? No deceit. So let's read verse 1 again. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is what? What's it covered by? The blood of Christ. Why? Because you repented. It's done and over with. Remember, the devil can only attack you from your past, something that you've done already. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man who forgives himself and forgives others. Let me share with you, when we forgive ourselves, it cuts us loose from ourselves. Because you know, you're your worst enemy. We're our worst critic, aren't we? Oh, you should have done this. Well, maybe you should have done that. Listen, everyone in here has hurt someone one way or another and hurt themselves one way or another. We hurt ourselves with our own words, don't we? Believe me, I call myself all kinds of names when I'm on the court. And I have to break it off. Oh, as soon as that word comes out, oh, you idiot, you know better than that. Oh, forgive me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me before I kill somebody. No. Hey, we battle with this. And it's okay. Why? Because his love for me and you is unconditional. Unconditional. Everybody say unconditional. Man, you know, I look at my dog and I look at unconditional love. She loves me even when my daughter forgets to feed her. You know, dogs love, animals love us, don't they? Man, you may leave the dog outside for a day and go, oh, God, I forgot the dog was outside. And they'll be wiggling their tail waiting for you to come. Yes! And they jump all over you and lick you to death. They didn't care what you did. They were just happy to see you. That's how God is with me and you. I haven't seen him wag his tail too much, but I've seen him dance. So, he's the head, not the tail, right? Got it. Hallelujah. Psalm 103. I guess my daughter's in children's church. She missed that one. Oh, there she is. Hi, honey. You need some ice for that one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Hallelujah. Psalm 103 and verse 1. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and what? Forget not his benefits. Hello? Benefits. Benefits. You know, one of the things that happens is when we're out there, and so many people I've seen have this tendency that when they make a mistake or they blow it, they run away from light instead of to it. They run away from it. Why? Because they're so concerned. They don't even understand what's happening to them. Because once darkness has taken them over, darkness doesn't want them in the light because it exposes darkness. So the powers of darkness will do everything they can to keep that person away from coming into fellowship, from coming back to the kingdom, for coming from repentance. And they may even say, oh, Lord, forgive me, but not come back because of guilt and condemnation. Offense. You know, when people are offended, it's because they're still alive. Well, you don't know what they did. Who cares? Let's forgive and forget and go on. We bless those who persecute us, use us, and speak against us, don't we? Didn't Jesus do that? I mean, when he was on the cross, what was his greatest words? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. So many times we fall short of that. But when we finally come to our senses, we forgive. Amen? And we realize what an idiot and jerk we were and how prideful and arrogant we were. Every one of us has fallen into that place. But you know what? God is still waiting for us to get back in position and fulfill the mission that he sent us to do. Nothing's changed with him. It just changes here all the time. Oh, they don't love me. Well, who told you that? What are they going to say? Who cares? It's your relationship with the Lord. And if they're really walking with Christ, they're going to receive you with open arms. Amen? Look at this. These are our benefits. He what? He forgives all. Verse 3. Who forgives all of your iniquities. Hello, that's your sins, transgressions, iniquities. Who forgives your stupidity. Hello. Who heals your diseases. I want you to know something, that without forgiveness, without your repentance, it's very difficult to get healed. Unless it's some sovereign move of God. Why? Because sin prevents relationship with the Lord. That's why when we repent, it's reconnected again. Look at, he forgives us. He heals our diseases. Verse 4, who what? Redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the what? Eagle. So you can get back up and strengthened again. That's what it's about. But see, one of the things we need to do is search ourselves through. What am I not doing that I should be doing? What am I not doing? Okay, step 2. What am I doing that's displeasing God? And the third one is, what am I accepting what God has done for me? What am I rejecting? See, he paid a price for me and you. The Bible says he bought me and you. Remember, the word believe means to follow. If you're not following, you're really not a believer. You're a wannabe. But we must will be Willoughbys. Amen? We want to be Willoughbys, not wannabes. So there's something you're going to have to do. You're going to have to get plugged in. Get plugged into the source so you can get power and energy. Amen? So the benefit of forgiveness, well, there's that benefit of forgiveness that you need to forgive yourself. Why? Because when we don't forgive ourselves, oppression comes. Guilt comes. Sorrow comes. Again, bitterness comes. Heaviness comes. Even suicide. Remember, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've seen people, their thoughts are considering killing themselves because they're not being what they want to be. Does everybody get it? Well, the word says something very powerful. It talks about the accuser of the brethren. He always accuses you. You should have done this, you should have done that, and maybe we should have. But when we've asked for forgiveness, it's gone. But the accuser, the powers of darkness, the demons, the devil, the enemy, doesn't forget or forgive you. In fact, he is never going to forgive you. It doesn't matter. Does everybody understand it? He wants to keep you in guilt and condemnation. He wants to keep you in a place of rejection and bitterness. He wants to reconnect you to everything of your past all over again so he can access you just like he did before. Amen? Go to Revelation chapter 12 while we're talking about the accuser. And if you don't believe in devils or demons, you have them. They're in you. Why? Because it's the spirit of unbelief. They've got you so deceived and blinded. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. It says, so the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. They were cast to the earth, its atmosphere, who deceives the whole world. In fact, he rules the whole earth. He controls all technology. He controls everything. But the body of Christ is here. The believers are here to hold him back from taking over completely. But one day we're going to be removed, which is the next event to be fulfilled, which could be fulfilled at any moment. It's called the Feast of Trumpets and is the removal of the church from the earth. It's called the rapture, which is the next event, and you don't want to miss it, or you'll be right here with hell on earth. And verse 10 says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the what? The accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down." And where was he cast to? The earth. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb," which would be associated with repentance, "and by the word of their testimony," that is the word of God and their testimony, who Christ is. "And they did not love their lives to death." Why? Because they were born of the Spirit now. Death no longer was a fear to them. Is everybody okay? The accuser of the brethren, he is called the voice of the stranger that attacks you and keeps your soul in captivity with guilt and condemnation, with unworthiness, with heaviness, with thoughts of failure, unacceptance. All of these things, he puts us into captivity. And when he does that to us, we hold those things. Even though when we ask God, "Lord, have mercy on me." Mercy means consider me. Grace means when we say, "Lord, release your grace me," he releases a plan of escape for me and you. Grace is not a magical, mystical thing. It is God's plan. You were saved by grace. Why? Because you cooperated with his plan. What did you do? You repented. That's a part of his plan. You accepted him as Lord and Savior. He can't be your Lord and Savior until you repent. Then you're activating the blood. So they overcame him with the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimonies, and they didn't love their lives to death. Why? Because they knew that there was another place for them. This was no longer home. Is everybody okay? In 1 John chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 5, please. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. Is everybody okay? Did you forgive yourself yet? Oh, a few of you did. Verse 5. "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all." None. There are no gray areas with God. None. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." Whoa, that's heavy. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Well, how are you going to get the truth? It's been written for me and you. How are you going to know? You're going to just take somebody's word for it? No. You're going to search it out yourself. Again, I want you to let you know that this is true. This is true. Verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Well, if he's willing to forgive you, how about you forgive you? Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1. Self-forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 1. Is everybody there? In verse 3, would you read it with me? "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." It's his good pleasure. "To the praise and the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him," would you read this? "In him we have what? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation and the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him." So we have redemption in him through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sin. We are adopted. He chose you. You didn't choose him. He knocked on your door and said, hey, can I come in? Would you please accept me today? He chose you. You did not choose him. But now we choose him because he chose us. Amen. In Colossians chapter 1. Anybody in here never made a mistake? If you raise your hand, you're a liar. So what happened after that mistake? Think about it. Did you beat yourself up? It's like the enemy shows up with a baseball bat and he says, here, now let me tell you what to do. You this, you that, you this, and you're going boom, 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 boom. Should've, would've, had've, would've, didn't do've. Again, we've got to forgive ourselves and get back into position. That's all it is. It sounds that simple, and it really is that simple. It's not always how you begin, it's how you end. So why go to how we began? Let's go to the God of now and continue. Amen? In Colossians chapter 1, and verse something. Verse 13. It says, he has delivered us from the what? The power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. So he created me and you for him. See, there's a warranty tag on, you know, like you have a warranty tag on a shirt. You have a warranty tag. You're under his warranty. We just went to his benefits, right? What's the benefits? He forgives us. He heals us. He rescues me and you from a life of destruction. He restores us. He blesses us, crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He puts good things in our mouth, and he renews our strength like an eagle. An eagle flies. In fact, you know what an eagle's delicacy is? Snakes. He's a serpent hunter. Hallelujah. So the Lord has delivered us from the power of darkness. The Bible tells us that we're to forgive. If we don't forgive others, we can't be forgiven. So if you're still holding bitterness towards someone else, if you haven't forgiven them yet, and that's in Matthew 6:14, you don't have to go there, but you can write it down. If you've not forgiven someone else, you're not forgiven. But I'm a good person, not in the eyes of God. You're wicked. See, we got to begin to see what God sees. If you're still holding bitterness and unforgiveness, you're wicked. And he will not allow you access. No wickedness will access his kingdom the day you give your last breath. But I've been a good person. I fed people. I did this. I did that. I helped this person. No, man, it's a lot of I's there. Any glory to the Lord yet? Believe me, I see a lot of people say, well, the Lord has blessed me with this and blessed me with that and done all kinds of stuff. And they put skulls and crossbones on their shirts and their, it's like, where's the glory of God? Where's the glory of, it says, what did he do? He said, because they did not give me the glory, he said. They did not give me the glory. Listen, God has blessed us with talents and abilities. Are we using them for his glory? Or are we using them for our selfish gain? Why? We're going to examine ourselves. Well, I went to school and I learned hard. I did all this. No, who gave you the ability to learn? I worked hard for all of this. Who gave you that strength, the ability, the endurance? He did. He gets all the glory all the time. Amen? Praise God. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10, in verse 38, Acts 10, verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, who went out doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So in other words, the Lord came, God himself took a part of himself, called himself Son, came into this realm, put on flesh, so he could communicate with me and you. Does everybody understand that? Called himself Son. Listen, if you saw a bunch of ants walking in the fire, and you could scream and yell at them, can't you? They're not going to listen to you, are they? The only way that you're going to tell them to go in another direction is to become an ant. Then you say, hey man, you're going the wrong, right way here. God had to become man to tell us. Because man was rejecting the prophets. They were rejecting his word. They were rejecting many things. So he had to come himself and put people in the right place and pay the price for their sins so he could establish a new covenant with them. So he could leave them his spirit, his weapons overcome, his anointing, which is the eternal power and presence and truth of God Almighty, so that you and I could overcome darkness now. There is no excuse for not overcoming darkness. None. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why? Because they're not using the truth. They're not practicing the truth. They're not using what he's given them. Some people are still not even searching out truth. They're just content in what the government says. They're content in everything else and not knowing that they're fat and getting ready for a slaughter by the powers of darkness. Look at things that are about to happen. If you can't discern what's going on, you're in trouble. Then you better get in a fellowship that's telling you what's going on. Because time is running out. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy where his people were oppressed. Oppressed. Oppression. Heaviness. One of the things, again, that oppresses individuals because they haven't forgiven themselves yet. They're still allowing an accuser to keep them bound. Amen? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 17, would you read it with me, please? Let's confess this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. A new creation. That means you've not only forgiven others, but you've forgiven yourself. Remember, the blood must be activated to maintain a new creation. It says, all things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Well, the only way to get rid of old things is to put it under the blood. And all things are becoming new. See, we live from the future now, not from the past. We forgive and forgive ourselves. And we step and go. That's it. It's done and over with. And you maintain your walk. You maintain the mission that God has sent for you. Amen? Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 1, let's speak it together. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So you and I were born as a child of wrath. We were born as a rebellious child. We are against the things of God. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were idiots out there, we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ, and by his plan, by grace, you've been saved. And we've been raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show his exceedingly riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We are his workmanship. Do you know that without the extension of himself and me and you, people wouldn't get saved? We are the extension of his hands, of his voice, of his presence. Jesus is the way, truth, and life. We are the extension of the way, truth, and life. Why? Because we bring them to him. But there's something that we must do. We must maintain freedom ourselves. We must forgive. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, hold no bitterness, bring self-examination. If we would examine ourselves and repent for the things, then we wouldn't be judged. Amen? The word says, Jesus washed us with the blood of his blood and made us kings and priests in his kingdom. What an honor and blessing. One of the things the enemy does is it steals your identity. For some of us, we still don't have an identity. The only identity we're getting is by what we watch on TV, hear on the radio, or read. Worldly identity. Instead of the identity of Christ. You know, when we were young, it was always, what do you want to be when you want to grow up? Oh, I want to be a drug dealer. Oh, I want to be a doctor. Well, where are they getting that from? TV? Cloning images? Hello? See, so we've got to bring forth, and even into our children, the identity of Christ. Well, if you're not being the example, amen, if you're not in fellowship, if you're not walking according to the character of Christ, if you're not maintaining his tabernacle, how can you be an example to your children? You can't. And then they're going to go off and take an identity that the world has them instead of the identity of who they truly are. One of the things the enemy does is when he brings you into that guilt and condemnation, he's exchanging guilt and condemnation for your identity and who you were in Christ. He always wants to take your identity. He wants to exchange it so that you forget who you were, that you've been forgiven, and forgive yourself. Amen? In Romans 8:31. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Romans 8:31. All glory. Let's speak this together, please. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Are you God's elect? Yes. It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He's praying for me and you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who what? Who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But I'll tell you one of the things the enemy wants to do is separate you from the presence of God. And I'm going to close in Luke 9. Luke 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. One of the things that connects you to yourself is unforgiveness. Until you're willing to forgive yourself, you can get disconnected from yourself. And take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and he himself is destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. And I believe a lot of us here will not taste death till we see the kingdom of God. Because the next event is the rapture. And we are close. Don't miss it. If you're not right with God, I encourage you to get right with him today. That's all you need to do is go repent. Get into a fellowship. Serve in that fellowship. Maintain your relationship with the Lord. Get counsel, correction, and direction. And get in the Word. Amen? Get in the Word. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We give you all the glory and honor and praise here today for what you've released from your throne room. Again, we ask not only for your forgiveness, mercies, and grace for ourselves, but for others. We forgive everyone, Lord, and we truly take this opportunity today and forgive ourselves. We forgive ourselves, and we loose us from condemnation and guilt and bitterness and offense. And we commit it to you and cast our cares upon you, for you care for us and promise to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.